Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. This is Joe speaking. So today we're going to go through five Bitcoin charts. We have four charts that go over general price action, too good, too a little bit disconcerting. And then there's also a little bit of a fly in the macro ointment that I also want to go over. Ultimately, right now, we were experiencing a 10-week correction, something like that. And so a lot of people are a little bit distressed about where we're headed. Obviously, macro factors aside, we're going to take a look at pure price action and also on-chain spending behavior to see if we can't glean a little bit of what on earth is going on here with Bitcoin. But first things first, this video is sponsored by River. So River is our Bitcoin exchange of choice. You can invest in Bitcoin with confidence today at river.com. Now, why do we like them so much? Well, for one, they have zero fees when you set up a recurring order, however small or however large. They also have a multi-sig cold storage solution, so you can rest assured that all of the funds you leave with River are safe and sound. They're also fully licensed and regulated, and they have US-based phone support, which for me is a huge plus. I personally do not like call centers, and so I love that you can speak with a rep directly here in the States. Also, they introduced a cool new feature that helps you orange pill your friends and family called River Link. It lets you text Bitcoin to anybody that can be claimed to any wallet. So River's doing it right. They're really changing the game here. And if you guys want to claim a $100 reward, you can go to river.com/TBL. And when you sign up, you can get up to $100 in Bitcoin when you make your first purchase. So what are you waiting for? Go to river.com/TBL to claim that reward. The link is in the description. If you're watching this on X, you can just type it right in to your browser and take a look at it. But with that, we'll dive straight into the video. So like I said, the first chart here that we're going to go over, I'm just going to pull it right up here, is Bitcoin's price action. So if you've been following the Substack, you know that I love using this chart because even though it's a very short time frame, and at TBL, we like to zoom out quite a bit because Bitcoin, after all, is a multi-year, multi-decade investable asset. We don't like looking at the candles. It is our job to look at the candles to try and see what on earth is going on. So I like to call this the battle for 15. Because we're within this kind of 15K range between 72 and 57 down here on the low end. So 72 on the high end, 57. But really, we've been tightly consolidated in this kind of $4,000 range here. We know Bitcoin broke below. It ended up making being able to reclaim the trend. And it tried to break above, but once again, it was rejected. Now it's back down below. So it hasn't been able to flip this 64K level back into support. So a little bit tumultuous. But again, we have plenty of time. Right now, we're in a secular bull market. And we're in a phase right now where sellers and buyers are fighting it out. They're duking it out. And once the sellers have exhausted themselves, the buyers can resume pushing Bitcoin's price higher and higher. And I tend to think, given the macro regime where we are, the Fed kind of pivoting very lightly. Okay, they're still being very hawkish, but they've managed after a few softer than expected jobs reports to pivot somewhat dovishly. And so that slanted dovish language to suggest that financial support for financial markets is on the way, it does bring confidence. The other factor is that this is an election year, and you got to remember that the Fed has a dual mandate of full employment and stable prices. But at the end of the day, what do they really care about? They care about asset prices. And they also work, as much as they say they're a separate institution, they work for the US government. And what does the incumbent US government want? It wants asset prices to go up so that people can people feel good going into November. And so given the totality of those circumstances, I wouldn't expect a bear market in risk assets, Bitcoin included, for the rest of the year. So we're still chopping around these areas. It's anyone's guess how long that'll continue, but I tend to think the macro backdrop paired with the Fed's priorities, per se, are going to allow Bitcoin to move higher from where we are now, despite the 10-week honeymoon period. It's getting a little old. It's getting a little old, but I'm right there with you guys. Okay, so the second chart for today is zooming out. Like I said, we like to zoom out. We like to view Bitcoin on a multi-year time horizon. This is a five-year chart of daily prices. And it's in log scale as well. So making sure that we're not committing any chart crimes here by putting this in linear scale, just so you can get a better idea of Bitcoin's growth and its growth profile, because it is an exponential asset. Not just the network growth, but its market price. And we're talking about price today. So down here is the relative strength index, which is a popular oscillator for assets to gauge whether assets are oversold or overbought. okay? And the oversold level would be down at 30, so down here, this green bar that I've made, and overbought up here at 70, so up here at this red bar that I've made. And for Bitcoin, smack dab right in the middle right now. So it's at 50, which again is smack dab in the middle, not overbought, not oversold. Can really go either way, right? I tend to think we're gonna begin etching higher, but it is it was long overdue, this sell-off that we've experienced. Okay, you note that each time Bitcoin has had this kind of huge run, it has had to take a breather. But just like back here at the end of 2020, it took a breather. RSI came back down to 50, and we still resumed its uptrend. So this isn't about cyclicality, you know, secular trends as much as it is these small cyclical trends, these week to week and month to month periods of Bitcoin. And right now we're in one of those kind of regrouping phases where we've gotten really overheated, right? Really overheated all the way up here, and now we're just taking a little breather. Okay, doesn't mean the cycle is over. It just suggests that we're kind of at the level where the regrouping happens, and it's really any day or any week now that we begin, resuming the secular bull market. Again, there's nothing to suggest to me that the secular bull market is over, from a price perspective and from a macro perspective. And here's where the caveat comes in, and it's a caveat that not many of you will want to hear. But it's also a very small caveat. So I'm going to switch up the board here. We're going to go on chain. So we're going to take a look at buyer behavior. Now, we're using Glassnode today. Personally, they are one of the best providers. Also, there's Check On Chain, which our friend Checkmate created, which is a really cool dashboard. And there's also Look Into Bitcoin, which is another dashboard. The cool thing about that is it's totally free. But just for today, for the interactivity of it, we'll look at Glassnode. So here, this metric is coin days destroyed. Now, what's a coin day? Well, a coin day is essentially a day that a Bitcoin has been unspent. So one Bitcoin unspent for one day, that's one coin day. For example, so let's say Alice has two Bitcoin. She holds them for 100 days. That's 200 coin days, okay? Coin days destroyed are the amount of those coin days that are destroyed when that Bitcoin that's been lying in wait moves, okay? So the amount of time since a Bitcoin last moved, it accumulates coin days. And when Bitcoin moves, then those coin days get destroyed. And so when coin days destroyed rises, it tells us that some of those older coins are being moved. More often than not, that means older coins are being spent. And you'll notice historically, when coin days destroyed rises, right? So we're in a bull market. Right, so all throughout this bull market, all throughout the 2017, 2018 bull market, coin days destroyed rose and rose and rose and rose as that older money, colloquially considered the smarter money, spent into strength. Okay, so it took profits all the way up, which is the opposite of short-term holder behavior, who tend to jump into the market and start buying. Right, so short-term holders provide exit liquidity. Long-term holders, these older, more seasoned investors, begin getting out. And so as coin days destroyed rises and rises and rises, and this is a 90-day rolling average just to smooth it out, then it's indicative that we're approaching a market top. Now, this isn't the be-all end-all, okay? I want to be very clear. This is not a be-all end-all signal. It's just a signal of buyer behavior. What are these smarter coins doing, okay? You'll also notice that they do tend to panic just as much as the rest of the market does. You see all these old coins shifted and moved around when Bitcoin's price dropped in late 2018. You'll note that the big point here, the point that I'm trying to get at here, is that coin days destroyed rising doesn't necessarily mean that a bull market is over, okay? From the 2019 bottom all the way to 2021 top, there were several peaks in coin days destroyed, several local peaks before we actually hit the absolute peak of the cycle, which was around here. So it's not necessarily translating one-to-one to price, but it could point to periods within longer-term bull markets where older coins are happy taking profit, they're happy moving their coins around, and we're in one of those periods right now. And so this feeds directly into the correction that I was talking about here, right? That the price correction, we had 7 months of just nonstop upward green candles. It's a bit of a reprieve. And the reprieve is coming from, again, those longer term holders, that smart money that is exiting the market that is taking profit, that has taken profit all the way up here, and now they are holding, right? So Coindays destroyed falling means that fewer Coindays are being destroyed, which means that Coindays are accumulating, which means that those coins are aging, okay? So coins are aging, and that very well could mean, as it has meant in previous cycles, that there's just a stronger cohort of people sitting on their Bitcoin holding it. Doesn't mean we're at a cycle top. It could also suggest, which is what I think it's suggesting, that we have a ways to go, and that a stronger holder cohort is entering Bitcoin. A bit of a lengthy explanation, but I hope that made sense. The second chart that I want to show you is a macro chart. Now, this has to do with pandemic era excess savings. We all know the helicopter money that happened. You received helicopter money in your mailbox, $1,300 stimulus check, then a 20-something $100 stimulus check. All that aggregate pandemic era excess savings, the stimulus and just other savings included, rose all the way up to $2.1 trillion as of August 2021. Okay, so you see that peak there. It's now exhausted itself to negative territory. So consumers in the United States have run out of excess savings. They've run out of money. And you've probably felt this. Your wages haven't kept up with prices at the pump or prices at the grocery store. And so what does this mean? Well, it means that spending, all things considered, is on the decline. It's going to continue declining. Now, this is disinflationary. It helps bring down price inflation. And eventually, it could be deflationary. We're not even close to that yet. Not even close to that. I just want to highlight the dynamic that now that people are running out of money, it means that economic activity in aggregate is going to slow. And there are two things to glean here. One, it could be a headwind for risk asset prices. It isn't yet, but it could be, because remember, when people have savings, they have money put away, they can contribute, you know, double to their Roth. They can contribute, they can buy stocks, they can buy things like Bitcoin, what have you. But when savings are in the gutter, it's not a priority to buy assets, it's a priority to buy what you need, buy groceries, buy gas, pay for the mortgage, etc. Mortgages are a whole other thing, we're not going to get into that today. The average monthly payment did just hit an all-time high. Anyway, but spending behavior, this is important, because when people run out of money, they could begin divesting from other things or just not buying. And so fewer buyers for things like risk assets. Now, that's not a one-to-one translation. There are several steps in the middle, and it would be silly of me to draw the conclusion that because people have run out of money, therefore the bull market's over. Not even remotely suggesting that. What I am saying is that the Fed reaction function, when there is a slowdown in economic activity, is to ease. And we're not there yet. They forecasted it for the end of the year, but this is just another factor to consider when we're considering how soon the Fed is going to ease and support financial markets, risk markets included. So we're going to go back to Glassnode here. And the last two charts I have for you today, I'm going to wrap this up, is we got to zoom out, people. We got to zoom out and understand that Bitcoin is a multi-year asset, multi-decade asset. And this chart here is the price appreciation post-halving. So ignoring the first epoch for Bitcoin, which you can't see, ignoring the second epoch for Bitcoin, where it rose 7,000% after its halving, after the second and the third halving, so epoch 3 and epoch 4, Bitcoin appreciated by almost 400%. Okay, so we'll ignore this for now, because this is probably closer to what we'll see this cycle. Bitcoin rose 392% following its second halving, and 366% following its third halving. And now we've had Bitcoin's fourth halving, and you got to understand that it's a rocky road. It's a rocky road. And right now we're experiencing a correction. We just talked about it. But at the end of the day, regardless of the minutia, regardless of the Coindays destroyed, this is where we're headed for Bitcoin. Okay. We're not prediction machines. If you want a prediction machine, you can go find another outlet. But what we are is we analyze the macro. We put Bitcoin through that lens, per se. And then we try to tell you, you know, what's going to happen. Okay. At the end of every cycle, the Fed eases, whether they do so in response to some kind of deflationary shock or what have you, or anything else. But Bitcoin as an asset stands to appreciate by several 100% in the face of that. And this is the first chart to demonstrate that. And the second chart to demonstrate that bull markets are not all sunshine and rainbows. This is every single bull market and the bull market drawdown. So this is the price appreciation during the bull market at the bottom here, and at the top, are the bull market drawdowns. And so you'll see that we had up to a 70% drawdown during the 2011 to 2013 bull. We had up to 20% drawdown, several 20% drawdowns during the 2015 to 2017 bull. Several 25, even 50% drawdowns during the last bull market. And as you can see here, we've already experienced several close to 20% drawdowns during this bull market. It doesn't mean the bull market is over. It just means that buyers are exchanging, older coins are taking profit, newer coins are entering the market. All this is to say, zoom out. Okay, don't get caught up in the minutia of price action like this. Okay, this 10-week consolidation phase that I like to harp on so much about. Instead, focus on charts like this and understanding that these dips are prime buying opportunities. And we don't offer financial advice here at the Bitcoin Layer, but what I would advise you to do is to not get worried about Bitcoin's price performance in hours, God forbid, minutes or days or even weeks, but zoom out to a multi-month, multi-year time frame. Recognize that we're still in a bull market and understand that times like these are prime opportunity for you. So that's everything for today. Nice 16-minute video. I said it would be short. It wasn't short. I apologize for that. But I hope you have a clear overview of where we're at in the Bitcoin cycle, some of the factors that are at play for Bitcoin's price, and where I believe we're headed, which is higher. I don't think we're over yet. So that's all for today's video. Thank you guys so much for watching. Once again, thanks so much to River for sponsoring this video. They're our Bitcoin exchange of choice. You can invest in Bitcoin with confidence with them, guys. They have multi-sig cold storage, so you can have peace of mind knowing that your funds are safe and sound. 100% full reserve custody of all of the Bitcoin that they hold. They have full US-based phone support, and they also have Riverlink, which allows you to text Bitcoin to friends and family. They're our favorite Bitcoin exchange, and we've had a tremendous relationship with them that we hope continues far off into the future because they really are changing the game. They're always building. They're always innovating. We love them. And of course, if you want that $100 offer, visit river.com/TBL. And when you first buy Bitcoin, you can get up to $100 in Bitcoin in addition to that. So that's everything for today. Once again, thanks so much for watching. Make sure you subscribe or follow on Twitter, on YouTube, wherever you're watching this. And I will talk to you guys next time. Take care.